You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive.
Hey there.
Today we're finally opening up a file that has been sitting on the desk for a while, just staring at us.
I know the one.
It is, I mean, it's arguably one of the most requested, definitely one of the most debated, and honestly, one of the most scientifically dense topics we've tackled in a long time.
Yeah.
We are talking about TV-500.
It is a fascinating compound. And you're right, the noise level around this one is substantial.
It's huge.
You go online and you hear terms like miracle cure or Wolverine healing being thrown around.
Wolverine healing, exactly. That's the vibe.
As if you can just take a shot and instantly recover from a car wreck.
But that's our job today,
yeah.
Right? To kind of pump the brakes on that hype train.
Just a little bit.
We need to look at the actual biology. We've got a massive stack of sources here. Everything from, you know, strict scientific protocol analyses to what the biohacking community is actually doing in the wild.
And that gap between those two worlds, it is wider than usual on this one. What the scientists publish versus what you see in the forum.
It's a huge gap.
And
we're going to try to bridge it. So our mission today is to explain what TV-500 actually is, how it functions at a cellular level. Uh-huh. And we are talking about literally reorganizing the body's structure. And then we're going to unpack a very specific dosing question we got.
Oh. The 5 milligram every 5 days?
Exactly. We're going to run the math on that because it's surprisingly tricky.
It's a great example of where bro science meets actual pharmacokinetics.
It is. But before we get into all that, I want to mention that this deep dive is brought to you by InfinityPeptide.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start at the absolute beginning. When someone buys a vial and it's labeled TB500, what are they actually holding in their hand?
So technically speaking, TB500 is a synthetic peptide fragment. And that's the key word there, fragment.
Right. Okay.
It's a specific sequence of amino acids, and it's derived from a much larger naturally occurring protein in your body called thymosin beta 4.
Okay, so thymosin beta 4 is the natural version that's already, like, in my system right now.
Correct. It's ubiquitous. It's in almost every cell in your body, but you find really high concentrations in, say, platelets and wound fluid.
Ah, okay.
And thymosin beta 4 is a pretty large protein 43 amino acid. So scientists looked at that and basically asked, okay, which part of this chain is actually doing the heavy lifting for tissue repair?
They were trying to find the engine inside the car.
Exactly. They isolated a specific section, which is essentially the active site, and they synthesized that. And that is what TB500 is. The goal was to keep all the healing properties, but make it smaller, more stable.
And easier to produce for research.
Right.
So it's like the greatest hits album of the original protein. You took out all the filler tracks and kept the singles.
That's a perfect way to put it. But I do need to drop the anchor right here immediately.
Okay.
This is probably the most critical thing I will say today. TB500 is not FDA approved for human use.
Right. This isn't something your GP is going to write you a script for?
No, not at all. It is a research chemical. So everything we're discussing today, every mechanism, every single study, it all comes from preclinical research, from animal models, or just anecdotal reports from the user community.
Got it.
There are no robust, large-scale human clinical trials for this. We are strictly in experimental territory here.
Understood. We're explorers mapping the edge of the map,
mm-hmm.
not doctors writing prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at why people are exploring this.
Yeah.
When I was reading about the mechanism of action, I kept picturing a construction site.
It's a solid analogy.
Because usually when we think of healing, you know, HGH or testosterone, we just think of things getting bigger, hypertrophy. But this seems fundamentally different. How does it actually fix a damaged site?
It's surprisingly elegant, and it has almost nothing to do with just making things grow. It comes down to something called actin regulation.
Actin. I think I remember that from high school biology, but
yeah.
Unpack it for us.
So actin is a protein that forms the cytoskeleton of your cells. Think of it like the internal scaffolding, the steel frame of a building. It gives the cell its shape.
Okay.
But here's the thing. For a cell to move, to migrate from point A to point B, it has to be able to disassemble that scaffolding very quickly and then reassemble it in a new direction.
So it has to be flexible. It can't be a rigid structure.
Exactly. And TB500 has this unique ability to bind to what are called G-actin monomers. These are just the unassembled building blocks of that scaffold.
Oh.
By grabbing them, it basically creates this ready pool of raw materials that allows the cell to rapidly restructure itself.
Okay, let me see if I'm getting this. If I'm a cell and I need to get to a wound, I can't be a rigid brick. I need to sort of flow. TB500 keeps the building blocks loose so I can shape, shift, and move.
That is exactly it. It maintains the fluidity of the cell's structure. And this leads to the second major point, cell migration. Most people think healing is just cells dividing right where they are. But for complex repair, you need specific repair cells, fibroblasts, endothelial cells, stem cells, to travel to the site of the injury.
So if I have a tear in a muscle, TB500 isn't just telling the local cells to work harder.
Yeah.
It's like clearing the traffic so the specialist repair crew can actually get to the pothole.
Correct. It is mobilizing the workforce. It significantly increases the distance and the speed at which these cells can travel. And once they get there, it triggers another vital process, angiogenesis.
I saw that term everywhere in the sources. Angiogenesis.
It's Greek. Angio for vessel. Genesis for creation, it's the formation of new blood vessels.
Yeah.
The peptide upregulates certain growth factors, especially one called VEGF, and this encourages new capillaries to sprout from existing ones.
Which makes total sense. An injury usually compromises the blood supply, right? You've severed the roads. You can't fix the building if you can't get the trucks to the site. So this reopens the supply lines.
Precisely. It brings oxygen, it brings nutrients to tissue that is starving.
Yeah.
Without that supply line, the tissue either dies or it just becomes chronic scar tissue.
And that was the other thing that really stood out to me, the difference between repair and scarring. Because normally if I get a bad cut, I get a scar. That's healing, isn't it?
It is healing, but it's emergency healing. It's chaotic. A scar is basically a patch job.
Right.
It's collagen just thrown down in a messy cross-hatched pattern to close the breach as fast as possible. It's strong, but it's not functional tissue.
It doesn't stretch, right?
It doesn't stretch. It doesn't conduct electricity well in the heart. It's a patch. And the research suggests TB500 changes that dynamic.
How so?
By modulating inflammation and regulating how that collagen is deposited, it seems to support a more organized reconstruction. It's the difference between patching a hole in drywall with duct tape
versus actually replastering it, sanding it, painting it.
So it looks like the original wall.
Exactly. And that's why the athletes and biohackers are so obsessed with it. They don't just want the injury closed. They want the tissue to work like it did before.
They're chasing regeneration, not just recovery.
That is the holy grail.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the theory. Where is this actually being tested? You mentioned some weird stuff in the notes, like eyes.
The eye research is fascinating. They've looked at corneal injuries in animal models. Now, the cornea has to be perfectly clear. If you scar it, you go blind.
Right. You can't have a duct tape patch over your lens.
Exactly. And in these models, TB500 accelerated the wound closure, but crucially, it did it in a way that maintained the structural transparency.
It's wild. But the section that really grabbed me was the cardiovascular stuff.
Yeah, this is one of the most promising areas. They've looked at myocardial infarction models, basically inducing heart attacks in lab animals.
And what happens? Because heart tissue doesn't regrow, right?
Yeah.
Once it's dead, it's dead.
Normally, yes. After a heart attack, that part of the muscle dies and turns into scar tissue, which is stiff and it doesn't beat. But in these studies, when TB500 was administered, they saw a significant reduction in the size of that dead zone, the infarct size.
So it saved the heart muscle.
It likely did two things. First, the angiogenesis we talked about. It grew new blood vessels to reoxygenate the area. And second, it has a cytoprotective effect. It prevents cells that are on the brink of death from actually dying.
That's incredible. And then really quickly, the brain.
The neuroprotection aspect, yes. Studies on stroke and traumatic brain injury, TBI. The data showed it could reduce lesion size and even promote neurogenesis.
The growth of new neurons.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing, but I feel a however coming.
The however is delivery. the blood-brain barrier. It's a very strict filter, and getting a large molecule like a peptide across it is a huge challenge.
Got it. So biological potential, massive, practical delivery, complicated.
You've got it.
Okay, so we have this powerful mechanism, these amazing animal studies. Now we have to get to the numbers, to the question our listener asked about this dosing schedule they see on the forums.
The 5 milligram every 5 days protocol.
Right. They want to know, is this normal? Is it safe? How does it compare to what scientists actually use? Because 5 days is a weird number.
I love this question because it really forces us to look at the math. Let's break it down.
Okay, unpack it for us.
First, let's just look at the average. If you inject 5 milligrams and you wait 5 days, you're averaging 1 milligram per day. Or, to make it comparable, about 7 milligrams per week.
7 milligrams a week. Okay, got it. How does that compare to the textbook stuff?
Well, in most research guides, you see two distinct phases. A loading phase and a maintenance phase.
Walk us through loading first. That's when you're trying to saturate the system.
Correct. You're trying to get the peptide levels high in the tissue quickly. This often looks like 2 to 5 milligrams per dose given 2 or even 3 times a week.
So if I'm doing 5 milligrams twice a week, that's 10 milligrams total for the week.
Right. Or even 15 milligrams. It's aggressive. Then, after a few weeks, the protocol usually shifts to maintenance.
And that's less frequent.
Much less. Maybe 2 to 5 milligrams just once a week.
So 5 milligrams per week total.
Exactly. So now look back at our listener's protocol. 7 milligrams per week.
It's right in the middle.
It is. It's lower than a heavy loading phase, but it's higher than a standard maintenance phase. It's basically an aggressive maintenance schedule.
Is there a downside to doing it every 5 days instead of just, you know, splitting it up during the week?
This is where the debate gets interesting. We don't have a perfectly defined half-life for TB500 in humans.
How long it stays in the body.
Right. But peptides generally break down pretty fast. And in research, consistency is key. Scientists prefer maintaining systemic exposure. They don't want the levels to drop to zero.
Okay.
If you wait 5 full days between shots, there's a good chance your blood levels drops significantly. You get these peaks and valleys, a huge spike, then a long taper off.
Whereas doing, say, 2 milligrams every other day would keep a steady hum in the background.
Exactly. A lot of researchers prefer a Monday-Thursday split or an every other day schedule for exactly that reason, to smooth out those curves.
So why does every 5 days even exist? Is it just convenience?
That is almost certainly the reason. If your vial has 5 milligrams, it's incredibly convenient to just hydrate it, inject the whole thing, and forget about it.
So you don't have to store it in the fridge or use multiple needles.
Right. It's a user convenience protocol, not necessarily a pharmacokinetic optimization protocol.
That makes so much sense. What about microdosing? The sources mentioned that too.
It's definitely a thing in the forums. Taking a tiny amount, like 500 micrograms, every single day.
And the logic there
is to mimic the body's natural production. Your body doesn't dump phimosin beta-4 once a week. It makes it constantly. So they're trying to replicate nature.
But the research doesn't really back that up.
Not really. Most formal studies stick to the larger, less frequent doses. The microdosing approach is almost entirely anecdotal.
So to answer the listener, 5 milligram every 5 days is a middle ground protocol. A bit aggressive for maintenance, a bit light for loading, and it probably has some peaks and valleys, but it puts you in a biologically relevant range.
That is a fair and accurate assessment, yes.
Now let's talk about context, because on the forums, TB500 never travels alone. It's always part of a stack.
The Wolverine stack.
Right. 2B500 plus BPC-157 everywhere. Why those two?
It's the classic combination. BPC-157 is another peptide known for gut health and tendon repair. The theory in the community is synergy.
Okay.
DPC-157 is often described as the signaler, and TB500 is the mover. It handles the actin and the blood flow.
So one calls 911 and the other drives the ambulance.
That's the theory. It sounds great on paper, but again, the reality check. We have zero clinical trials on the interaction between these two in humans. We don't know if they compete, if they amplify side effects. We are relying on the wisdom of the crowd.
Which can be valuable, but it's not science.
Not rigorous science.
No. And that brings us to safety. Because if this stuff makes cells move and blood vessels grow, isn't that risky?
This is the most important part of the conversation. In preclinical toxicology, so animal safety tests, TB500 actually has a very broad safety margin. They've given massive doses to rats without acute toxicity.
Okay, so it's not cyanide.
Right, but we have to talk about the theoretical risk. And the big one is cancer.
Walk us through that logic. Does it cause cancer?
There is no evidence that TB500 initiates cancer. It doesn't seem to mutate your DNA. But think about what a tumor needs to grow.
It needs blood.
It needs a blood supply angiogenesis. And for cancer to spread metastasis, the cells need to be able to migrate.
And TB500 is a pro-angiogenesis, pro-migration agent.
Exactly. So the fear is that if you already had a small, undetected tumor, taking a powerful angiogenesis promoter could be like pouring gasoline on a smoldering fire.
It might accelerate the growth of something that was dormant.
It might. And that is a sobering thought.
It is.
It's why anyone with a history of cancer or proliferative disorders is strongly advised, even by the biohacking community, to stay far, far away.
And there's also the gray market risk, right? The practical risk.
Yes. Since this isn't a prescription drug, you're buying it online. You are trusting a vendor who often states for research use only to give you a pure product.
And not some random filler or heavy metal contaminant.
Correct. Or bacterial byproducts that can cause a massive immune reaction. Purity, labeling, dosing. These are all real risks outside the regulated supply chain.
Okay, let's bring this all together. We have a peptide that acts like a general contractor for the body's repair crew.
Mm-hmm.
It uses actin to let cells move to the injury, and it builds new blood vessels to feed the repair.
Correct.
We know it's shown incredible results in animal models for everything from heart attacks to tendon tears.
The efficacy data in animals is very strong, yes.
And we know the 5 mg every 5 days protocol is a user-generated hybrid. Convenient, hits the weekly dosage targets, but maybe not the most optimized for stable blood levels.
A valid interpretation of the math, but not the gold standard for pharmacokinetics.
But, and this is the big one, we know we are playing in a sandbox the FDA has not approved, with theoretical risks about cancer acceleration that should not be ignored.
That is the summary. It's a powerful tool, but it's currently a research tool, not a medicine.
So what's the big takeaway for the listener? Why should they care about all this if they aren't going to inject themselves tomorrow?
I think the takeaway is about potential. TB500 reveals that the body has the capacity to heal perfectly. The instructions are already there. We just haven't fully mastered how to unlock them safely in humans yet.
Mm.
But the fact that a molecule exists that can tell a cell, don't just patch this with a scar, actually rebuild the original structure, that's a paradigm shift.
It really is. It shifts the goalpost from just recovery to actual regeneration.
Exactly. And that is a distinction worth watching.
I want to leave everyone with a thought to mull over. We usually accept scarring on our skin, in our hearts, as the inevitable cost of survival, the receipt for trauma. But a science like this continues to evolve, and we can harness this ability to reorganize without scarring. How does that change the definition of being healed? Does it mean we never really have to age in the way we think of it, accumulating damage until we break?
That is the billion-dollar question. If we solve scarring, we solve a massive part of the aging equation.
Indeed. A big thanks to InfinityPeptide.com for helping us bring this deep dive to you.
I remember, stay curious, but stay critical.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.